الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
At this time, I would like to mention an extremely dear and beautiful personality. He held a special rank and status owing to his absolute devotion and loyalty. He was utterly devoted servant of the Jamaat and he passed away 2 days ago. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Each and every single person will depart the world one day. But how fortunate are such people who spend their entire lives endeavoring to please Allah the Almighty. When they make a pledge, they try their level best to fulfill those pledges. Along with serving the faith, they are ever keen and ready to try and also serve humanity. Such people are included amongst those whom the world praises. As a result, in accordance to the saying of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, paradise becomes incumbent for such persons. This servant of the faith, the devoted helper of Khilafat, and a person who held great regard, honor, and respect for Khilafat, was none other than our beloved brother Mahmood Ahmed Shahid Sahib, who is well known as Mahmood Ahmed Bengali in Pakistan. He was currently serving as the Amir of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat Australia. There he passed away on Wednesday, 23rd April. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. After his passing away, the first letter I received from one of his relatives, or the message I received from him, was that he was so intensely devoted to Khilafat that may Allah the Almighty enable us to be so. I responded that he operated like a pulse. He never entertained the thought or doubt of why any instruction had been given or why it was being given in any specific way. Even if he was asked to do something against his will, then he would immediately comply and obey it. I will now provide some details of his illness and his ailment. On 22nd April, he left the Sydney Mission House to offer the Asr Salah and departed towards the mosque. After a short walk, he turned back as he did not feel too well. As soon as he reached home, he suffered severe brain hemorrhage. He was already diabetic and severed from intense blood pressure, so he was taken to the hospital where he was placed on a ventilator. The view of the doctors was that a hemorrhage in the area of the brain that he suffered proved fatal. It was impossible to revive him. However, I advised them to try for at least 24 hours, but not any more. When the ventilator was switched off after 24 hours, he passed away just after 2 minutes and returned to his Lord. His introduction can be presented as such. Mahmood Ahmad Sahib was born on 19th November 1948 in the village of Bangladesh Char Dukhya in the district of Chandpur. His father's name was Mulana Abdul Khair Muhammad Mohibullah, and his mother's name was Zebun Nisa. His father had accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1943. At first, his father's name was just Abdul Khair Muhammad, but Hazrat Khalifa Tumsi II, may Allah be pleased with him, added the name Mohibullah. The father was the first Ahmadi of his area and was a great scholar. His father was very enthusiastic and keen on tabligh, and through preaching efforts, he gave beneficence of the light of Ahmadiyya to his father, Khwaja Abdul Mahnan, that is, Mahmood Sahib's grandfather. When he went to Saharanpur in UP, there, he was introduced to Ahmadiyyat during the lifetime of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace. When the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, visited Delhi, so his paternal grandfather in question was also eager and enthusiastic to meet him. However, he was disallowed to go by the educational administration where he was studying. Later, when he became Ahmadi, he would say that people try to keep us deprived of these blessings. However, Allah the Exalted granted us and conferred us with this blessing. On the instigation of Hazrat Khalifa Tumsi II, may Allah be pleased with him, Mahmood Ahmad Shahid Sahib's father dedicated his life or did waqf under the appeal of dedicating one's children. This is in 1954. Mahmood Shahid Sahib acquired his elementary education in his hometown, and he joined Jamia Ahmadiyya, Rabwa, in 1962 when he was yet a child. He achieved his Shahid degree in 1974. In 1977, he was married to the daughter of the late Maulvi Muhammad Sahib, Amir Jamaat Bangladesh, Hajra Sahiba. They had three daughters and one son. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, all are married and are actively involved in Jamaat activities. Some of the incidents and accounts of Mahmood Sahib's early life he narrated to his son-in-law. So he relates that once during his time of education in Jamia, he sustained severe injury on his knee while playing football. He became extremely unwell and returned to East Bengal. Some facilities were unavailable in Rabwa at the time, and the climate was quite harsh. The water was salty and there was no fresh or sweet water. He often suffered from stomach pain. His parents lived far away and he probably missed them considering his young age, and then he also got hurt. So he returned to Bangladesh, which at the time was East Pakistan. He had no desire to return to Rabwa. However, he says Sayyid Mir Dawood Ahmed Sahib, who was a principal of Jamia at the time, wrote repeated letters and made every attempt to get him to return to Jamia. As a result of this, he ultimately returned to Jamia. Mahmood Sahib said that my father's prayer had a deep impact upon my life. While in Rabwa, he wrote a letter to his father that the weather is extremely severe in Rabwa. There is no proper water supply and I have problems regarding eating and drinking, etc. In reply, his father, Mr. Mohibullah Sahib, wrote that in Makkah there were also very severe conditions and circumstances. He quoted the verse from Surah Ibrahim, Rabbana inni askantu min zurriyati biwadin ghayri zi zar'in, and so on. and he advised him and threw it and wrote that if you cannot live in the town that has been populated by the Khalifa of Allah, then your relationship with your father is completely meaningless. So Mahmud Sahib says, after this, an immense and profound change came into my life. Respected Mujibur Rahman Sahib advocate from Rawalpindi writes that Mahmud Sahib was a quiet, accomplished servant of the Jamaat and a devoted person. He undertook his obligations with complete loyalty and sincerity for his entire life. And he went to meet his Maker precisely at the moment while serving the faith. Hazrat Khalif Tumasi Salis III chose him as a Sadr Khudamul Ahmadiyya and thus forth his administrative skills and qualities also emerged. Mujibur Rahman Sahib relates that his father was appointed a missionary in Bengal and he dedicated his first child, and while Mahmud Ahmad was still quite young, he was sent to Rabwa. Due to unfamiliar surroundings, he would get quite sad at the beginning. Mujibur Rahman Sahib, who is the maternal uncle of Mahmud Sahib, said that Mahmud Sahib's father had an intense desire for his son to go to Jamia. He would write to Mujibur Rahman Sahib to not let Mahmud Sahib get too sad or sorrowful so that he could study and complete his education at Jamia. These were the early days. However, very soon Mahmud Sahib became completely engaged with all his heart in his studies. Those who lived in Rabwa and those who lived there from early times know how assimilated and embedded Mahmud Sahib became. Mir Daud Ahmed Sahib would send him to Rawalpindi to stay with Mujibur Rahman Sahib during the summer holidays. Mujib Sahib writes and writes very correctly that the deceased was so simple and sincere and was so friendly and sociable that even non-Ahmadi neighboring children and ladies would become acquainted to him and always remembered him thenceforth. Mahmud Ahmed Sahib had a very loving relationship with his brothers. He would quietly help his underprivileged and poor relatives. He always had some money kept in trust with the Bangladeshi Jamaat, which he would constantly serve his mother through. His relatives unanimously said that they had a very loving relationship with him. In the notes to his son-in-law, he said that in 1979, the election of Sadr Khudamul Ahmadiyya took place at the Shura. He was in the fifth position in terms of the votes. After the elections at Fajr time, Hazrat Khalif Tumasi III, may Allah have mercy upon him, summoned him and told him to engage in istighfar profusely and to recite durood. The next day or in the evening the same day, Hazrat Khalif Tumasi III gave approval for his name as Sadr Khudamul Ahmadiyya, although his votes were in the fifth place. One of his colleagues from Jamia Ahmadiyya, who is currently in the USA, missionary Anamala Gosra Sahib from USA, writes that, I befriended Mahmud Sahib during Jamia days at the Nasir Hostel. He was the Zaim of the hostel and Gosra Sahib was the Mutamim. So he relates that he was a member of the Mess and later the Sadr and also became the Reisul Jamia. When the announcement of his appointment by Hazrat Khalif Tumasi III as Sadr Khudamul Ahmadiyya was made, Inamullah Sahib said, I stood beside him and I wished to embrace him, but Mahmud Sahib said to move away in his very specific accent, which is a mixture of Bengali and Urdu. So then he asked that, has my name been announced? So I replied, yes, it has. He could not believe this. Instead of happiness, he looked sad and extremely worried. However, soon he came back into his senses. And then Inamullah Sahib says that I embraced him. Khalid Saifullah Sahib, who is currently the acting Amir of the Australia Jamaat, he relates that once Mahmud Bengali Sahib told him himself this very incident of being elected the Sadr Khudamul Ahmadiyya, that in 1979, when the election for international Sadr Khudamul Ahmadiyya took place, then he was in the fifth position in terms of the votes gained. Hadrat Khalifa Masih III, may Allah have mercy upon him, was very kind, compassionate and affectionate to Mahmood Sahib. So Khalifa Masih Salis summoned Mahmood Sahib and told him to engage abundantly in istighfar till the evening. Mahmood Sahib was very scared and thought that I had committed a mistake. But when Hadrat Khalifa Masih Salis appointed him as sadr, in spite of his votes being in fifth, he realized that Hazur was drawing his attention towards humility through this way. This is also a lesson for all office holders. When they are appointed, they need to engage in istighfar and durood extremely profusely so that they maintain humility at all times and are enabled by Allah the Exalted to serve the faith in the proper manner. Mahmood Majeed Sahib, an engineer, also writes in the same respect that Mahmood Bengali Sahib was an extremely devoted and loyal Ahmadi who was wholly devoted and dedicated to Khilafat. Perhaps in 1981, Hadrat Khalifa Masih Salis, he does not remember the year, but in any case he says, at the time Hadrat Khalifa Masih III, it is perhaps 1981, perhaps it has been written correctly. So perhaps in 1981, Hadrat Khalifa Masih III had all the Sadr Khudam al-Ahmadiyyas from 1960 up till then written down and numbered. And then he praised Mahmood Sahib that he excelled them all in obedience and in being the recipients of prayers. And he also said at the time that this is the reason why I have appointed him the Sadr in spite of his votes being in the fifth position. He says, I wanted to give the Jamaat the lesson that the appointment by the Khalifa is indeed better. He had many books written through him during his tenure as Ghulam al-Ahmadiyya Sadr. It was an incident of 1981, Hazrat Khalifa Masih III at the Ijtima of Ghulam al-Ahmadiyya appreciated his services in these words. Hazrat Khalifa Masih III said, blessings are given only to those who with sincere intentions follow and are devoted to Khilafat, because all blessings are associated with this institution. Nothing besides it can gain acceptance with Allah the Exalted. Then Hazrat Khalifa Masih III says, Mahmood Ahmad Sahib was in the fifth position as regard to the votes in the Khudam al-Ahmadiyya election held last year. I desired to give this lesson to the Jamaat, that the tasks of those four individuals who secured more votes would not have been more blessed because of the number of votes they had. Rather, one who follows Khilafat with sincerity of intention is the one who will truly receive blessings. Therefore, I appointed Mahmood Ahmad Bengali Sahib as the Sadr, who had the fifth position in terms of votes. He is a very sincere and pious person. May Allah the Almighty enhance his sincerity. He has worked extremely hard and has received many a prayers. Hadrat Khalifa Masih III mentioned the attendance graphs of Ijtimaas from the times of different Sadrs of Majlis-e Khudam al-Ahmadiyya, dating from 1960 until that time. And with the exception of a brief decline at one instance, he mentioned the gradual increase and said, I wish to tell you that success is not with those who obtain the most votes, but those who receive the prayers of the Khalifa of the time. Last time, the person whose votes were in fifth position was made the Sadr. In the first year of his tenure, 771 majalis were represented. And the second year, that is this year, 818 majalis are present and the reports are included. At the time when Mahmood Bengali Sahib was the Sadr Majlis-e Khudam al-Ahmadiyya, there used to be one worldwide Sadr. He would work under the Markaz, the center. The others in the world were not Sadran, in fact they were called the Qaideen. This came to an end in Mahmood Sahib's time. He was the last worldwide Sadr Khudam al-Ahmadiyya. When this came to an end, he wrote a letter filled with humility to Hazrat Khalifa Masih Rabi IV. Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV replied to this letter that you have needlessly expressed embarrassment in your letter. What is there need to be embarrassed about? For mashallah, you have accomplished a very good time as Sadr Khuddam and have worked very well and with wisdom and bravery and courageousness during difficult times. May Allah the Almighty bless this. This is why you are being given the chance to serve in spite of joining Ansarullah. Hazur says, because he was given a year's extension. So Khalifa Masih IV continues, had you been incompetent, this would never have been the case. May Allah the Exalted continue to keep you a devoted and selfless servant of the mission. And may you be continued to enable to serve in an excellent manner. Then Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV wrote, you have worked greatly as regards to the welfare of the prisoners by the way of Allah. Regular reports were sent in this connection. Upon one of these reports was the following statement of Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV. Your report regarding the welfare of the prisoners and the way of Allah was received. MashaAllah, you are working with great wisdom and endeavor. May Allah the Exalted bring about good and blessed outcomes of your work. Hazur says, indeed, Mahmud Sahib did a lot of service as regards to the prisoners in the way of Allah during those days. Upon one report, Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV says, I am extremely happy at your service for the prisoners in the way of Allah. This was the early period of the ordinance, and hundreds were being imprisoned for saying the kalama. Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya and Sadr Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya worked a lot in this regard. So Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV says that in your service to the prisoners in the way of Allah, you have worked excellently. You are working exactly as I had desired. During his time, Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya made prominent progress and services in many departments. He established the Asiran Trust for the welfare of Ahmadi prisoners in the way of Allah. The trust tried to meet their needs and alleviate their suffering and pain. An ambulance was also run for service of humanity by Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya to mark the centenary of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. At the establishment of the Bayatul Hamd Society, Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya gave a very large donation. The spirit, the driving force, and the heart of this was Mahmud Ahmad Sahib. Land was also purchased to build quarters for workers of Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya, in which he showed personal interest and enthusiasm. Then Central Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya were enabled to give a valuable donation towards the translation of the Holy Quran. Mahmud Ahmad Sahib visited many countries outside Pakistan for the organizational advancement and progress of Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya. The most thorough of these tours was his tour of three continents, Europe, America, and Western Africa, in which he visited 11 countries. From 11 June till 11 October, he went to Holland, Belgium, Germany, United Kingdom, United States, the Gambia, Senegal, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Ivory Coast. This was the first tour of Sadr Majlis Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya to these countries. The previous related to 1979. In 1989, he visited Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore on a tour. During his time, the upper story of the Khuddam guest house was built. Then there was a fire in Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya Mahmud Hall, which is called Ivan-e Mahmud, and its repair and renovation was undertaken without any appeal for funds. During his time, Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya were unable to serve during the election of Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV. They were also unable to serve during the sensitive time of the migration of Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV from Pakistan. They gave duties and also accompanied Hazur. Allah the Almighty also granted many historical moments during his time. He was unable to serve in both the 14th and 15th centuries in accordance with the Hijra calendar, and also served in the 1st and 2nd centuries of the Jamaat. Ghulam al-Ahmadiyya completed its 50 years during his era and entered its 51st year. Sultan Mubashir Sahib, who's writing the history of Ghulam al-Ahmadiyya, writes that Mahmud Sahib would say that 2 to 3 days after becoming Sadr Ghulam al-Ahmadiyya, I was extremely anxious and fretted. I wept a lot sitting at the feet of Hazrat Khalifa Masih III, and in my specific accent I said he would not realize the differences in grammatical gender in the Urdu language, and I said that I cannot carry out this work. Hazrat Khalifa Masih III said in response, when the Khalifa of the time makes a decision and does it after prayers, he does not change it. My prayers are with you. You should come to me when in difficulty. Mahmud Sahib used to say that he went on to experience that the prayers of Khulafa were always with him. He had a direct connection with the Khudam. He said that Hazrat Khalifa Masih III, may Allah be pleased with him, had advised him to spend less time in the office and more time having direct connection with the Khudam. Normally, instead of sitting in the office in the evenings, Mahmud Sahib would sit on a chair. Because there is a purpose-built Khudam offices there and the entire closure is of Khudams, people would come and go there. So Mahmud Sahib would sit there on a chair outside the office and ask people who had come to and fro in Ewan-e Mahmud how they wore. He would informally converse with them. Consequently, a friendly and sociable atmosphere was created with the Khudam. He shared with everyone in their grief. Dr. Mubashir writes that one day we were sitting, working in the office, and it got very late. Mahmud Sahib said, bring something to eat, if there is anything. So I went to the guest house to see, but the food that was brought for the workers from Darul Ziyafat had finished. Just a few pieces were remaining. I returned empty-handed and said that there is nothing left, apart from just a few pieces. Upon this, he said, they are still blessed, so bring them. So that is what he ate. He neither gave any instructions to anyone in charge, any of the administration or workers of the guest house, nor did he rebuke them that why any food was not kept for him. It was night, he had diabetes, and by then diabetics get hungry, but he did not express any complaint to anyone. The Motamim Sahib and other workers live within the enclosure of the Ghulam al-Ahmadiyya complex, but he did not bother or trouble them. Dr. Sahib writes that Mahmud Sahib appointed him to write the history of Ghulam al-Ahmadiyya, and he was given great encouragement by him. Mahmud Sahib had a Bengali accent in his conversations, which will also be noted in his writing. Often he asked me to write his letters. When he went to UK Jalsa in 2010, I wrote certain letters and reports for him. Dr. Sahib also was in the Jalsa at that time. Sometimes it was difficult to understand his Bengali accent and the words he expressed, and thus I would joke with him about this, but he was never offended. The aspect that I learned most of all from him, this is Dr. Sahib who is writing this, was to take one's capacities to the highest point in obedience to the Khulafa of the time and in observance of responsibilities and obligations. He was a trusted person of the Khalifa. If there was any scrutiny or interrogation by the Khalifa of the time over any matter, he always implemented Qawli Sadeed, the straight and right word, and never lost heart over the displeasure of the Khalifa. Rather, he was ever keen on reformation and sought guidance from the Khulafa for the future. He prayed and asked for prayers. Firoz Alim Sahib also writes that I was closely linked with him from when I went to Jamia in 1982. I was an inexperienced new Ahmadi at the time. Despite all of his engagements, he would affectionately and compassionately care for me. He would invite me over to his house on Eid and other occasions and give me gifts and try to alleviate me as a result of my homesickness. Similarly, Abdul Awwal Sahib has mentioned a similar trait and quality of his. He says that the most excellent and superior trait of his was that he was extremely closely linked with Khilafat and was always ready to sacrifice everything for it. He was quite natured, appreciative of others' qualities, and a holy and elder person who practiced the teachings of Islam. He always encouraged youngsters like me. After passing my matriculation and went to Jamia, I was 16 years old. I saw that although living far away, he had an analytical eye on the circumstances in his homeland and would give valuable advice and prayers. Hazur says, last year I sent Mahmood Sahib to the Bangladesh Jalsa as a representative. Awad Sahib says that Mahmood Sahib was extremely happy and was constantly giving encouragement. Khalid Saifullah Sahib writes, Amir Sahib would say that when we came to Rabwa to study, there were some other boys who accompanied me. We went for a mulaqat to Hazrat Khalif Tumasir II, may Allah be pleased with him. Hazur was lying on a bed, and we sat on the floor beside the bed. Hazur was counseling us about the significance of waqf and sacrifice. Hazur placed one of his arms on me, as I was closest to Hazur. It was a will and doing of Allah the Almighty that all the other boys could not bear and tolerate the severity of climate and the food and returned to their homes. Only I was unable to finish my waqf with the grace of the Almighty Allah and my education, which was as a result of the blessed touch of Khalif Tumasir II upon me. Then Khalid Saifullah Sahib writes, the late Amir Sahib was a very intelligent person who was extremely adept and skilled in forming contacts and honoring them and using them for the benefit of the Jamaat. As a result of this, the immigration process for Pakistani Ahmadis became easier, and the Australian Jamaat, which numbered a few hundred when he first came, now numbers thousands, and this progress continues and is advancing. As per the guidance and instructions of Hazrat Khalif Tumasir IV, Ahmadis were populated in all the big cities of Australia, and now there are strong jamaats in the capital city of every state, and large beautiful mosques and mission houses are established. In Sydney, there is also, apart from Baitul Mahdi Mosque, Khilafat Centenary Hall and mission houses, and a guest house is also being constructed. Mosques have been built in Brisbane and Melbourne, and there is a Jamaat Center in Adelaide. Efforts were being undertaken to obtain land for a mosque in Canberra, and it is hoped it will quickly be acquired. MashaAllah, he fully partook to a great deal in the progress of the Jamaat in Australia. The National Secretary Tarbiyat there in Australia, Imran Asin Sahib, relates the following. From 1991, Amir Sahib has been the missionary in charge and the Amir Jamaat. During his tenure, many major projects completed. Whereas the Jamaat is yet in very small numbers. After the 2005 tour, he had two or three new mosques and centers and Centenary Hall built over there. Masjid Baitul Salam in Melbourne has such large halls that the capacity is over 2,000 worshippers. Other mosques there are also quite spacious and vast. Very good contacts with both the political parties and the federal government of Australia were maintained during his time, which facilitated immigration affairs. He also acquired other facilities from the government. He formed the auxiliary organizations in Australian Jamaat on the model of the center. His moral training played a large part in cultivating brotherhood among different ethnic groups. In Australia, they're not only Pakistanis. Many Fijians are there as well as Australians and Africans. Mahmood Sahib created an atmosphere of great brotherhood amongst them. He entrusted duties to each and every one and made them responsible. He availed of their capacities, took work for them according to their capabilities. And this indeed is a quality of a good administrator. Everyone else should also practice on these lines. Recently, the Australian Jalsa took place, which he presided over. He gave an address on the topic of gratefulness for the being of Allah the Exalted. He was in very good health at the time, and no one could even think. That is, he was good health at the time relative to his illness, and he was recovering. His health was improving and had improved to quite a degree, but then he suddenly suffered from a stroke. The Sadr Jamaat Victoria, Javed Sahib, writes in one of his detailed letters that everyone speaks about and is aware about Amir Sahib's close attention to detail, sagacity, guidance in every matter, perception, insight, and foresightedness. Amir Sahib had quite an old car. In spite of repeated insistence of the Majlis-e Amla and also my personal insistence, he did not get a better car. He always provided other missionaries with good cars but did not care for himself. Similarly, his daughter has written that regarding clothes they used to get for him, he did not have much concern and only wanted to wear what was comfortable. He said there was no need to be too fussy or to spend too much money on them. He was very careful about Jamaat expenditure. He had an excellent memory. He remembered members of the Jamaat by their names and had the God-given ability to utilize their skills to the best. He used to explain matters in Majlis-e Amla and also the proceedings of the Shura by giving references of the Khalifa of the time. One person relates that a person was to fly in for the cricket tournament that occurs here, but the flight was either cancelled or delayed due to adverse weather. He could not participate in the tournament. So Amir Sahib explained to him that still go ahead with the journey, even if you cannot participate in the tournament. The actual objective is to meet the Khalifa of the time. If you accomplish this, consider the purpose of your participation in the tournament fulfilled. In my recent tour, he could not go to Melbourne as he was severely ill during those days. However, he would make regular and frequent phone calls at frequent intervals to oversee all the arrangements and organization. He writes that Amir Sahib used to advise Khudam, Ansar and Lajna about fulfilling their obligations and the pleasant effect of this that could be seen in their lives during his speeches and addresses. He especially cared for overseas students. He gave preference and priority to matters regarding the families of the martyrs over all else. In terms of disciplinary action, because at times complaints have to be raised and then disciplinary action is taken from here. So he would say that this would make me extremely sorrowful, and he was very quick in pardoning. Amir Sahib's personality was like a fundamental brick for Jamaat Ahmadiyya Australia. So he continues to write that his work was like that of a foundation in the establishment of Australian Jamaat. Dr. Sayyid Ahmad Hassan writes that he was an ocean of love that you and I saw and felt. Every Ahmadi, whether young or old, would visit his house without hesitation or formality and talk to him about even trivial matters. He would especially entrust youngsters with tasks as if he was training them to become leaders. He always felt the pain of the members of the Jamaat. Osama Ahmed Sahib from Melbourne writes, Mulana Mahmood Ahmed Sahib was like a loving father for us Australian Ahmadis. He loved all Australian Ahmadis equally, without any discrimination. He won over every young and old with his courtesy, high morals, good treatment. He always took great care of all the guests who came to Sydney on every occasion. He personally welcomed guests by coming out of his house to hug them at the ishtamas and jalsas. We always saw Amir Sahib's smiling countenance, and this love and good treatment remove all our tiredness to travel. Some people hurt him in certain ways, but despite the negative conjectures made about him, he was never found directly responsible when investigation occurred. There were one or two cases where negative suppositions had been made about him, but those who raised the allegations were the ones who were found to be blameworthy. A lady, Tahira Attar Sahiba, writes, "Just a few days ago, the Jalsa Salana Australia concluded. He placed special emphasis on the hospitality extended to the guests staying at the mosque, and he said that the guests who will come to the Jalsa should be specially looked after. He would particularly inculcate about offering the prayers. The in charge of the press here, who was also with me on the tour, Abid Wahid, relates, I had the opportunity to become acquainted closely with Mahmood Bengali Sahib. In spite of feeling unwell during the entire tour, he looked after even the smallest matters and gave his full attention to it. As an example, once in the evening dinner, on the second day we were also given just one vegetable, whereas we did not even realize this. However, Bengali Sahib did pick this out. He personally went to the kitchen and inquired from the ziyafat that is there no other vegetable, that you are only giving one vegetable? So this is how he would always take care of the guests. There was extreme humility in his personality, despite his vast knowledge and experience. Abid says that he would have no hesitation or qualms in taking advice about matters of press and media. He respected the Nizami Jamaat and had ardent devotion and love towards Khilafat. Zardasht Munir Sahib, Amir of Norway, writes, I was unable to be guide of Karachi district in the days when Mahmood Ahmed Sahib was Sadr Khudam al-Ahmadiyya. In extremely challenging times, he was an extremely successful Sadr. These were the years of 1984-85-86. When the circumstances became extremely adverse, the Jamaat and the auxiliaries of Sindh and Balochistan were entrusted and placed under the Karachi Jamaat. If a martyrdom took place anywhere in Sindh, Mahmood Sahib or his representative would arrive there before representatives from Karachi. Mahmood Sahib would undertake very difficult matters in troubled and difficult times with great courage, effort, he adored Khilafat hugely and had great sense of honor for it. He would not tolerate the slightest negligence in terms of security. He would be most affectionate and loving when he went to Rabba for Ishtama and Jalsa. Malik Akram Sahib, who is a missionary here, writes, During my educational days at Jamia, I toured Madras Khudam al-Ahmadiyya Rawalpindi with Mahmood Sahib. He gave different addresses in every majlis. He had memorized Quranic verses, ahadith, and pronouncements of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and the sayings of the Khulafa with complete references. One senior office holder in Rawalpindi said after one jalsa that this young child will be honored in his life, although at the time Mahmood Sahib was a student of either the third or fourth year at Jamia. Akram Sahib writes that I was unable to serve for 5 years in his amla when he was Sadr Khudam al-Ahmadiyya. He would give very close attention to detail, was very meticulous, very wise, and also very extremely humble. He was extremely loving and affectionate, who worked hard himself and also expected his amla to work hard. He was most courageous. Once I remember that a mischievous officer was imposed on Rabba. He produced some inappropriate restrictions. Mahmood Sahib went to his office in his capacity as Sadr Khudam al-Ahmadiyya and spoke to him with such dignity and aura that he became awestruck and removed the restrictions. Then he writes that he never saw Mahmood Sahib use a Jamaat car given to him for personal or family purposes. He often went to gatherings in Rabwa on foot or by bicycle. Addressing the Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya Ijtima, he said, "Some people say that Ahmadi young men are better than non-Ahmadi people." He said, "It was not the purpose of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, to compare yourself to others or to compete with them." The promised Messiah alayhi salam has indeed said that every Ahmadi should bring about pure changes in himself. And this is what should be kept in view. Zafar Ahmad Sahib from Bangladesh writes, "I was unable to serve him during a stay in Bangladesh when he went there last year. Mahmood Ahmad Sahib was an extremely straightforward and simple person by nature. He was very friendly and sociable and was ever present in the mosque at prayer time. Despite his illness, he offered the tahajjud regularly. During a stay in the guest house, his advice was not to stop anyone who wished to meet him. He used his personal money to pay for their hospitality. He was caring towards each and every person, and he went to visit the sick and ill. Many people have written about such qualities of his, that he remained as he was from the end as he was in the beginning. Respected Ata'ul Mujib Rashid Sahib, Imam of the Masjid Fazl, London, writes that he was an extremely sincere, pious, devout, humble, and selfless person, who was completely without pretense. He says that, "Once I had the occasion to go to Australia for 1 month in 2004 and came to know of his countless qualities, the top of which was his love and obedience for Khilafat. This would often be the topic of discussion during our morning walk. We would talk about the progress of the Jamaat and about the participation and association with Jamaat work. He would say with great concern and worry that many weaknesses remain. While touring other Jamaats, he would inform me which matters needed to be brought to their attention." Khalid Ahmed Sahib, who is the in charge of our Russian desk, relates, "He has written to me that after you conferred with the mantle of Khilafat, Mahmood Sahib's love changed into great reverence, and his countenance would exclude humility and sincerity just by mentioning you." He then says, and in fact what he says is correct, that it is without exaggeration that there will be very few who are sincere, humble, righteous, dervish natured, compassionate, and utterly devoted to Khilafat like he was. A relative of his writes that he was sitting next to Amir Sahib when a member of the Australian Jamaat phoned. He wanted to convince to have his way, and he was using some harsh words in expressing that he was in the right. When Mahmood Sahib explained to him, the person on the phone became even more enraged, and he said that he would report him to the Khalifa of the time and so on. So when the conversation ended, he said most sorrowfully that these people make mistakes themselves and then become a source of worry for the Khalifa of the time. As I have said, many others have said that he was not concerned about being reprimanded or scolded by the Khalifa of the time due to any mistake he made. He would always explain the whole matter completely fairly, justly, and honestly. He would always explain to the youngsters that we are merely the humble servants of the Jamaat. This is the Jamaat of Allah the Almighty. He continues to take care of all matters himself. If you are receiving the opportunity, then avail it to serve the Jamaat. His service to Jamaat began with the Ziyamat of the Nasser Hostel. Then he served as Mutamim Maqami of Majlis Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya Rabwa from 1977 to 1979. He was then given the senior responsibility of Sadr Khudam Al-Ahmadiyya Markazi at the annual Ijtima 1979, which he served for almost 10 years. As I said earlier, he was the last worldwide Sadr Khudam Al-Ahmadiyya. Afterwards, the Khudam Al-Ahmadiyya was made into separate auxiliary organizations. He also served in the Department of Islah Rishad. When the Central Department of Sami Basri Audio and Video was created in the Fourth Khilafat, he was made in charge in November 1983. He served as Vakil Sami Basri Tariqa Jadid in 1984. After this department, I believe, came to an end. In fact, it did come to an end after MTA, because at the time it was started to disseminate cassettes. Later, MTA took this task over. From 28 June until he breathed his last, he was unable to serve as the Emir of Australia. May Allah the Almighty have mercy upon him. Continue to elevate his status and rank. No doubt he was a selfless, elder and holy person who served the Jamaat with all his capacities and capabilities. He neither cared for his health nor for any impediment or obstacle to come in the way of his work for the Jamaat. In my last tour of Australia, although Mahmood Sahib was in great pain and was suffering severely, he supervised all tasks himself. When I exited the airplane, he was stood in front. I became extremely worried seeing his condition. He had severe back pain. In fact, his backbone had deteriorated to quite an extent. According to the advice of the doctor, such people need to rest. However, he did not take any rest. Considering it was a tour of the Khalifa of the time, and how could you rest? In fact, on the way back from the airport, sitting in the car, Naib Amir Sahib, who was driving the car, Nasir Sahib, I said to him that Mahmood Sahib, indeed, seems very frail and aged. At the time, I was not fully aware of his ailment and pain and suffering. I later found out of the details after speaking to the doctors there, of how this person, in such great pain and suffering, was putting himself into trouble and carrying out his work and going here and there. And not only this, he was also supervising all the matters relating to the tour. One day, even suffering this pain during the tour, his blood pressure increased quite highly. There was concern that he may suffer from stroke or even a heart attack. He was in a very bad condition and was taken to the hospital. He stayed in the hospital for a few hours, and then he was permitted to come home by the hospital. And this devoted and dedicated and gallant servant returned home only to continue working once again. He could not travel with me to one city and regretted it greatly. But in spite of his pain and suffering, he came along to the next place, although I said to him to not travel with us. However, he did, and he remained with us in all the demanding and hectic and busy programs. He remained present and supervised all matters. He would forget his own concerns and worries, and was worried for me that lest I should be inconvenienced in any way, and that all the programs should be accomplished and fulfilled properly. Not only was he worried about me, but he was also worried about the people of my entourage. He looked after them as well. He would repeatedly express that I could not look after you people properly. And this worry and concern only emanated by the fact that the Khalifa of the time may suffer as a result of the people of the entourage suffering. Indeed, I was worried during the tour for his health. Anyway, his health did continue improving during the tour and gradually he became quite well. Recently, there was a Jalsa and Shura in which he fully participated.
دورے کے دوران ہی طبیعت بہتر ہونی شروع ہوئی اور پھر آہستہ آہستہ کافی بہتر ہو گئی.
I have also worked under him in Khudamul Ahmadiyya. He was very open-hearted and generous with his subordinates as regards to giving them an opportunity to work. He would also appreciate and regard and encourage them in their work. He was such also a great and excellent helper of Khilafat, the examples of which we rarely find, as I have mentioned towards the beginning. Through his demise, although there is a gap in the Australia Jamaat, but Allah the Exalted himself looks after divine communities, and he fills such gaps himself. May Allah the Almighty bless and always grant such excellent and amazing helpers of Khilafat. Such people who are extremely loyal and devoted to Khilafat and are dedicated and who fulfill their pledges. May Allah the Almighty be the protector and helper of his wife and children, and may he enable them also to be strong in faith, like their father. May they also come to form a strong relationship and bond with Khilafat. May Allah the Almighty also enable his children to pay the dues of their mother. After the Friday prayer, I will inshallah also lead his funeral prayer in absentia.
Abhi namaz juma ke baad inshallah namaz janaza ghaibin ka padhaunga main.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.